Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 214. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name is Michael Kaplan, and we got that's the number right, 214 this week. We're not, last week we said 222, so we've subtracted 8.
We were way off last week.
We were optimistic. We're going to go to 222, we promise you.
So you can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. This show, Lost in America Pod.com. Lost in America Pod on Instagram. Kaplan on the show today. We have returning the great Peja Bajevich.
Yes, it's very exciting to have a guest come back. It means that they enjoyed their time in our studio. They enjoyed their time talking to us, and they've decided to. We're intelligent people. They want to talk to us again, so I'm excited.
In our studio.
Yes.
AKA, I'm in my house, you're in your kitchen, and he's also in his living room in Croatia. Kaplan, but before we get to Peja, so we're going to talk to him. They just had, what caught our eye was this election. An election just got triggered in Kosovo. And so that's where he recorded his special. He's the king of the Balkans, the comedy king of the Balkans, as everyone knows.
the king of the Balkans.
Who do we go to, if not Peja Bajevich, to find out about their election? And when we started digging into this Kosovo election, it goes years back. There's ins and outs.
It's
and
very messy. I have a headache reading all these articles, trying to keep track of everybody. I got a headache.
A couple people have gone to The Hague. It's all over the place. Before we get to them, Kaplan, yeah. We got a shout out. We have a new Patreon subscriber this week. Two new Patreon subscribers, if you want to call it that. Shout out to Nikki and Mike. They got the $10 Patreon subscription, which means we've already sent them a number one in Armenia t-shirt. As everyone remembers, we famously went to number one in Armenia a couple months ago. And when you go to number one, you celebrate. You print merch.
We are still, don't say we went. My kids asked me today, Ruby Kaplan said, Daddy, are you still number one in Armenia? And I said, of course I am. Once you're number one one day, you're number one for life.
That's like being Mr. President. You're always
the president. And by the way, I'd like, with Valentine's Day coming up, I love that we have couples that are going to become Patreons together. That is a great activity. Forget watching Netflix together. Mike and Nikki have the right idea. Listen to podcasts together. They're much podcast and chill. That's a couple that's gonna, that's a couple that's gonna last for life. That's
it's
a
just
great
they thing. Both have earbuds in. They're just making out.
Yeah, you sit there together with an AirPod. It doesn't have to get all tangled up. You each put one in your each ear, and you sit there together and you listen to a podcast. You
it's a romantic show we do here, Cap.
Exactly. It's gets you in the mood. They say.
Get you in the mood, Cap. But if you want to join them, join Nikki. Not in the podcasting chill room. But if you join them as a Patreon subscriber, please do. This show is 100% free. The way we get to do it every week is because you, all of our Patreon subscribers, power the show. Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You get three extra episodes a week of just Kaplan and I doing a comedy show. Peja has come on it before. Sometimes we have shorter stories, Lost in America style stories. They're not going to work for a full episode. So we get people like Paige to come in and just bang out a 20-30 minute show with us about all the priests in Serbia that are getting COVID.
who were kissing the dead and getting COVID. It was a fun topic.
It was a wild episode. So go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You get that. For $10 a month, you get your own t-shirt, number one in Armenia. And for $20 a month, you get an ad on this show once a month. People have been asking about that because they say, how does Magic Spoon advertise with you? I said, they pay us, but it's actually a deal. We'll give you a deal. $20
they pay us a lot more than $20.
That's what I'm trying to say. We get a lot more than that.
That's a big cereal company. Come on. But yeah, you guys, $20. We'll say whatever you want us to say. As long as it's not, we will not read notes about an insurrection. If you want us to
$25.
That's $25. If you want us to tell you, we'll tell you the wrong location for $20 of where to go. But yeah, but anything else is fair game. If you want to dock somebody you don't like in your neighborhood, if you want to advertise your auto dealership, anything you want, we'll do it.
Whatever you want. If you just hate your neighbor and want us to rip on them, we'll do
gossip.
Yeah, but if it's an insurrection, we'll say for $20 a month, we will say the insurrection will be in our nation's capital this week, Philadelphia. Go there.
Yes, Philadelphia. It. Yeah, exactly. Well, we won't get out the real estate capital.
Let's get to today's episode, Cap. So Paige's on. The story is, as we said, that we looked up this election they're having on February 14th in Kosovo. And then what that took us all the way back to what happened was the election is it's like a snap election because some guy in the House of Parliament in December, he went to prison. Right?
He did a little corruption and they decided that his vote to keep this government, I think, didn't count anymore. He's erased from the record.
Yeah, which the election, there was a previous election in June or July, sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
And so we said, okay, I understand that story. There was an election for prime minister in June or July, and this guy voted in it, and then in December he went to prison. So they retroactively said his vote didn't count, and it passed 61 votes to 60. So he was
the key vote. That's why it's important. Okay,
made a difference. So then his
one vote didn't count.
Okay. So that part I understand, but then we get back to June and then, well, why do they have an election in June? Well, why? They had an election in June because that prime minister went to The Hague. Now we said, we got to call Peja.
We found out that apparently I don't know if it's president or prime minister, this guy Thatchi was doing a little black market organ donating.
Stop right there. Let's let Peja explain.
All right.
So Peja, let's start here, Peja. We want to start all the way backwards and work our way up to now. Is the good way we want to do the show?
Sure.
Why is the prime minister and president both of the former of Kosovo? Why did they go to The Hague in the last year and a half?
Okay. First, the biggest question is why are you number one in Armenia?
I meant to say this.
No. Challenge accepted. I'm going to work on becoming number one in Azerbaijan. So, you know.
And, we are number one in Armenia because of you, Mr. King Pejabayevich.
Yeah, actually, no. Kingmaker. No. I was just putting you in touch with a fellow comedian over there. But no, I mean, I was actually referring to what's been going on over there between these two countries. So
we are number
one. in Armenia. I'm going to work Azerbaijan. And
we'll be rivals. We'll you become number one in Azerbaijan.
That would be good.
On.
We are currently the least popular podcast in Azerbaijan.
They burn. They record our thing on little tape sets. They bought tape recorders to record our podcast so then they could mass burn it.
It's on CNN. Piles. They're burning it in the streets.
That's what they're looting in Azerbaijan.
Well, there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, Paige, you connect us with the guest, with Narek Margaryan over
with
there.
With Tarek, yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing about Kosovo and everything. The history, like I said last time, over there in the former Yugoslavia territory, we have too much history for not so much geography. And our geography, in order for the American audiences to get a picture, former Federation of Yugoslavia, the size is similar to the size of New England. And New England as a territory has got six states. Yugoslav Federation had six republics. So, you know, it's meeting the comparison. The biggest one in Yugoslavia was Serbia. As Maine, in terms of territory, is the biggest in New England. Okay, now picture it. Northern part of Maine, which borders with Quebec, French-speaking people, and southern part of Serbia, traditionally have people not speaking the main language. In Kosovo case, that's Albanian. All the Yugoslavs speak some sort of Slavic language, which is, you know, understandable between Serbs, Croats, Bosnians, whereas Albanians culturally and in terms of ethnic identity and language and everything are very different people. Politically, they've been striving to get some sort of autonomy and independence throughout history, throughout the Yugoslav kingdom, throughout the Serbian kingdom in the past, Eventually, they managed in the late 90s. It's not a big country. Kosovo is around 2 million people without a proper census conducted over there yet. And it's a country in constant transition, starting from the late 80s up until now. And elections happen almost all the time. You know, they don't have many regular elections, but it's always ad hoc ones that occur for some reason.
Snaps and like you, big.
Snaps big. You know, like you said, early next year, last year, first the prime minister, the current at the time, got indicted by the Hague International War Crimes Tribunal. And then the president, sometimes a couple of months later. Therefore, you know, they decided Kosovo needs a new government, new leadership. Kosovar political scene is made. Let's put it this way: you have early Kosovar independence fighters, people who've been there since the 80s, and their leader Ibrahim Rugova was this kind of a Gandhi-type leader. Nonviolent, negotiate. He was academic and a writer and a poet. And, you know, that seemed to actually bring some results. However, in 1998, the local fighting occurred, resulting in the NATO bombing of Serbia and Montenegro and Kosovo in 1999, resulting in Serbia withdrawing its forces from the province of Kosovo. So the new political force appears, made of the war veterans and the warlords, you know, being leaders of these couple of political parties. And the president, Hashim Thaci, and the former prime minister, Ramush Haradinaj, both were the warlords in the wars for the Kosovo independence. And, you know, I believe that most of your viewers knows what the war means for the local economy, black markets, smuggling, and all kinds of deals. And when you try being in power afterwards to either regulate it or continue taking advantage of it. I mean, it's the corruption in all the former Yugoslav countries is systematic. It's nothing on the fringes of the society. You know, all the every country of former Yugoslavia has got the corruption in its essence, supported by the, you know, political processes. So what happened? These guys got indicted, not by their own national courts, of course, but by the international community, the Western international community. And now new elections will happen. I have no clue who's going to win it. The third political option is this kind of a progressive democratic party type. A political party, and their president was a prime minister for a couple of months last year. And that didn't work as well. You know, okay. I mean, it's
gotta give it some more time. A few months. I mean,
well, wait.
Let's
go back a little
Balkans.
Bit. Yeah. So, okay. So, there's a lot of things that are interesting, but let's go to the beginning. So. Tachi or Thaci? Am I pronouncing it correctly? I'm not sure.
Thaci
was I think it's even interesting to explain, as you said, NATO was dropping bombs on Serbia and Kosovo. The war was between the Serbian side and the Kosovo side, correct?
Yeah. They've been bombing all the tactical and strategic points, which at the time were both in the territory of province of Kosovo and the rest of the...
This is in 1999.
1999. Spring 1999.
I believe that America was backing Kosovo in this. Is that right or wrong?
Well, here's the thing. Kosovo, many people would say that Kosovo is actually an American project.
Yes.
You know, that, and Kosovars are very fond of United States and its leaders. Clinton at the time, followed by George W. Bush. I guess Obama as well, because, you know, they don't see it in terms of the party lines and the policies or even international relation policies of America. They see it as friend.
And this is rooted in the idea that we helped them during that war. Correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's United States, which led NATO at the time, was a big, big supporter of the Kosovar independence initiatives. But, you know, in terms of any geopolitical, you know, combinations, it was not only to support good guys from Kosovo, but, you know, Serbia at the time and still is even more now is tied to Russia.
Yes.
So in order to complicate, you know, life of the Ruskis, let's help the Serbian. It's a bit of a proxy.
Of course.
Yeah.
So Thaci and Haradinaj were generals, or they were somehow involved in this war. And
yeah, they were local.
Kosovo Liberation. Is that what it was called?
And
the army?
Yeah.
Kosovo Liberation Army.
And then once the war ended, Kosovo became, I mean, in the eyes of a lot of places, but not all places, Kosovo became an independent country. I think Serbia never recognized them. In 2008, I think they
got, I mean, after the bombing ended, you know, in 99, they got practically detached from Serbia.
Yes.
You know, international forces, international police, and all the international organizations entered Kosovo and started building up the institutions, except the northern part of Kosovo, which borders with Serbia, some like three or four counties with a Serbian ethnic domination, but the rest of the Kosovo was you know, started building a nation building process. And yes. In 2008, they had a referendum overwhelmingly voted for the full independence. And ever since, there is a struggle for Kosovo to become a member of the United Nations, all the other international organizations. In some, they managed to enter, in some, not yet. Even within European Union, some European Union member states do not recognize Kosovo as independent, and those are all that got issues within their respective countries with separatist movements. Spain, because of Catalonia.
Oh, we have a new one here.
Yeah, there's no Kosovo's not a member of the United Nations.
America, nope, not yet.
As of yet, they're not.
America has a new separatist movement going on as well, we speak.
Which means America.
That's what I was saying. For example, so in state of Maine, you imagine like 15% of state of Maine, at some point French speaking, they decide to, you know, join Quebec.
Yes.
Because they don't feel, you know, part of respected and constitutional and everything. They want to take their land and, you know, first separate as its own state and eventually merge it with French-speaking Quebec. That's the Kosovar initiative ever since, to establish their own state and eventually merge it or unite it or federalize it, I don't know, with neighboring Albania.
Right. That's okay. What I was wondering about, because we discussed last time, Kosovo's population is about 80% Albanian, correct?
Yes.
So, yes. And Albania is at their border. So why not just become one country? Is there any?
Well, they're working on it. You know, many things have been done, and there is a pretty much a freedom of movement between two, you know, highways are being built to connect. I think that they are, they've got joint international politics in place, for example, that Kosovo would have Albanian embassy representing it in many countries throughout the world and stuff like that, you know. So and if you ask, I think that most of the Kosovar Albanians, if you ask them privately, you know, are you one with Albania, and they would say yeah.
So with Tachi, he was he and Haradinaj were generals, and that was in 99, and now 21 years later, they're being, is that what the war crime? Because they're being tried on war crimes. Is it war crimes from that time? Because I also read reports that there's also, some of it might have been against political opponents in the between time.
Well, I mean, the fighting in Kosovo started in 1998, yes. 1 year prior to the bombing, was intensive in 1999, and actually continued after, you know, because Serbia and Serbian population did not vanish from Kosovo overnight, you know. So there was a transition, and I, from the indictment that I've seen, you know, that they the prosecutors find them responsible of the putting pressure on the non-Albanian population of Kosovo with, you know, different sorts of small scale atrocities, as well as, taking care of the witnesses who were willing to testify against their war crimes committed.
Yes, okay, because it sounds like, the more recent articles I read are going back to 98, 99, talking about in the heat of war, there was murders that they all committed. But then Kaplan sent me something about how it was an article from 2010 saying that he also was drugs, like almost running an Albanian mafia, drug smuggling.
Right, and organ kidneys. He was training kidneys of Serbian prisoners.
Which is, that is Americans' like greatest fear of going to Eastern Europe is that all the movies are about how they take your kidneys out when you're in hotels.
On my driver's license, it says I'm not an organ donor for a reason, in case I ever end up in battle in Serbia. I don't want to. They respect that, right?
Story really should shivers down my spine.
When you come over here, make sure that you know you spend the first couple of days walking around, holding your lower back, making sounds. And,
you don't want these kidneys.
Asking for the toilet every now and then. You know, so all these, you know, interested parties realize that you're not. You would be of no use.
Sure.
I've heard, and all of us heard about these stories about the Serbian prisoners being brought to the Albanian mountains. You know, not even inside Kosovo, but next door, and in this yellow house venue, or you know, whatever, and their organs have been taken out and sold in the black markets. And also another thing, which is more likely, is that Kosovo, being as it where it is in terms of geographical location and the tradition of smuggling drugs and trafficking, it takes place not only in Kosovo, it takes place in Northern Macedonia and Serbia and Montenegro and Albania, you know, all throughout the Balkans. But Kosovo being in this kind of a specific special status, you know, the stories about Kosovo and going all the way up to the president and the prime minister are, you know, they're not only the warlords, they're the Escobars of the Balkans and stuff like that.
Was there true? I mean, were they ever tried with any of these things?
No.
In the last 10 years, so they stayed in power. Yeah,
they stayed in power. I mean, you know, these societies are very patriarchal, you know, and omerta is very strong, you know. So it's a lot of hush hush, and if someone for any reason decides to speak up, you never hear of them. It's Alibaba, owner of Alibaba type of situation.
Jack Ma. I was thinking of a Turkish restaurant I know named Alibaba. I got confused for a second.
Yeah. So you know, it's
we don't talk. Never, yeah.
You never hear of them.
It's interesting though, because Kosovo, I mean, to us, I feel like they're considered the good guys, you know, like this is complicated, this whole thing with the, you know, during the wartime in the 90s, we were rescuing. And then
What Kaplan said, we were taught that we were rescuing them from the atrocities being committed on the other side.
Milosevic. Yeah. That's what,
there were atrocities committed against Albanians. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean,
bad people on both sides, what we're saying.
The Balkans. Oh, the Balkans is you know we have not 50, we have 500 shade of gray, going on. So I mean, you know, I'm not trying to equalize two parties, but you know, good guys and bad guys does not play around here as much as it is in Hollywood movies.
So this seemed to be a thing, though, that everyone kind of, because we should say that Tachi and I believe Haradine were kind of, at least Tachi for sure, was in power, in some form of power, from 99 all the way up until 6 months ago when he got taken down by The Hague.
Well, I mean, informally, he's still very powerful.
Okay. Even sitting in a prison cell.
Yes.
How is that so?
It's like a mobster, like Goodfellas, you know?
Well, it's like that, you know? I mean, it's not that, I mean, yes, he was elected president and everything, but he's not just some, you know, professional politician, who committed his life to the public service and grew in his profession and from, an intern to a local you know, governor all the way. No.
He's no pencil pusher.
No. Neither him nor Haradine. No one know. I mean, you know, their past prior to the war in Kosovo is kind of shady. No one knows what these guys, you know, really did.
I came across an amazing quote, Joe Biden, in my research, that Joe Biden called Tachi the Kosovo's version of George Washington.
Whoa. Yeah, but hey, Tachi didn't have slaves.
yeah.
Don't cancel Tachi.
It's a real quote. It's amazing.
I mean, that's why Biden's very popular in Kosovo, right? We didn't mention it earlier.
Every American is very popular. Yeah. I mean, they loved Trump. But you know, I would say, I mean, the Kosovo Republic might be more inclined towards Democrats because of Clinton being the one who was active in you know, right. the
Biden
the,
was the actor, process I think, of, in Congress at the time, yeah,
as well. So, you know, I think that they would welcome Biden. But the thing that took place last fall of, you know, the current prime minister and the Serbian president coming to the White House signing something that no one still knows what that
so there wasn't peace
is about.
He didn't make peace like we were promised. All the violence is over. And
no. Okay. The violence was not happening for years. Now tensions, yes, but violence in the field is really, you know, less than average Baltimore day.
But Tachi was supposed to go to the White House, right? And he didn't get to go.
And let me just jump in here real quick. We should say, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Peja was on our show, episode 198, where we talked about the Serbia-Kosovo peace deal, in quotation marks, that our president, our lame duck president, Donald Trump.
I mean, he made so many peace deals this year while also starting an insurrection in his own country. It's really unbelievable.
Like, shades of gray.
Shades of gray.
No,
that he brokered.
Now that was just a show off move. You know, using geographic references known to the American public.
Sure.
That's pretty much it. Nothing major took place. Everyone involved had some sort of interest in this event. You know, for Trump to add another lie on the pile of many, you know, that this meeting stopped the war and atrocities and violence. No, it didn't. Nor it really contributed to any improvement in relations between these. So, you know, it's pretty much...
It was a non-event.
Nah, maybe they've signed some secret, you know, appendixes, you know, that we will learn about in years to come. But ever since September, nothing really improved. Nothing major happened.
All right, this guy did miss out on his opportunity to go to the White House, though, right? He was like arrested before then. Is that?
Yeah. And that's the only thing that's kind of weird, you know, the timing. Might be coincidence, might be, but I don't know.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second. We have a couple ads to get to, Peja. We have now become, since you were last on, the podcast have become bigger. We now have advertisements. But I want to start with you. Speaking of people who are loved in Kosovo, I mean, you're number one. You put out, you recorded the Balkan Brain.
Look at that brain.
We forgot to mention at the beginning, your comedy special, the Balkan Brain, recorded in English. You recorded it in Kosovo. And you were describing off air why you did it there. Tell the audience why you picked Kosovo as the best place.
Okay. So let me clarify. I'm the biggest English-speaking comedian in Kosovo because I'm the only English-speaking local comedian who did it in Kosovo. Well, here's the thing. My first and last name is very Slavic, Peja Bajović. But I do perform in English, and I have this special titled "The Balkan Brain," which is primarily produced for the international markets. At some point, I decided to tape it, and it's somewhat weird for me with my first and last name and some public recognition throughout the region to appear before the local audience and do my show in another language, no matter that English is rather well spoken, especially amongst the stand-up comedy audiences around here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They would appreciate it that there is a local guy doing it in English, but it would be weird.
If you both speak the same language, but yet you're doing your act in a third language, it make people like, why don't you just do it in the language we all speak?
Yeah, I mean, although I would explain that that's something to be produced, I don't know, for Netflix or something, still. Yeah. So I was thinking maybe I go nearby Austria or Hungary, or, you know, take it all the way to Berlin, for example. But then eventually that proved to be too pricey. And then just suddenly it came to me, Kosovo. Why not Kosovo? Because these guys, you know, me as a you know, Slavic guy from I don't know, Bosnia or Serbia or Croatia, doing it in English would not be weird at all. And so I hired a local production and went to the jazz club in capital of Pristina and had 3 times more people standing outside, not being able to come in.
That's awesome.
You know, and was for sure one of the best performances I've had in my entire 15 plus.
That's amazing. We'd love comedy. To see it. I know we're going to play a clip, I think, at the end of this episode, if we can. But we'd love to see it whenever it comes out.
I will. I mean, no. This whole Corona is shaking the foundations of our business and everything. So, you know, I don't know when or where to release it. You know, I mean, I need to consult with people like you guys and, you know, somewhere else where to. I don't even have to monetize it. I just want a good feedback.
I'll tell you off air. I have an idea that we could do for this. Let's get okay. So enough about
my favorite topic.
Your favorite topic brought to you by.
We have Magic Spoon is our new sponsor, Peja. Very exciting. I know when I moved back to America, I would assume you spent some time in the US, Peja. You had the same thing. You go to America. The thing that shocked me was the number of cereals in the cereal aisle, just the number of condiments, all the different kinds of ketchup. It's just more. I was in China for 12 years. Coming back, you're blown away by the number of options. Well, now what you can do, as Kaplan kids say, see all that cereal on the aisle, the window on the aisle of the supermarket, throw it out the window.
Throw it out the window, folks. I threw cornflakes away. Oh, sorry. I threw another cereal away this week.
Now I have to tell everyone. Magic Spoon has given us only one instruction.
I can't get it
The instruction is you're not allowed. Don't mention any other brand of cereal because you're giving them free advertising.
Yes. Yeah,
this
sorry.
Is now the second week in a row where Kaplan has broken the only rule they've given us. And mentioned another cereal brand, which I will now have to bleep out. Keep going.
Okay, may I just suggest one other thing not to do?
Yes.
Throwing out the other out of the window because that's littering.
Well, I don't know.
Ignore it.
There's a dumpster right outside my window. I'm going to throw it into the dumpster.
Throw it into
the,
It's not even good for homeless people. Don't feed anybody with that other stuff. This is healthier. Magic Spoon is so much better for you than regular cereals. So let's just say that, okay?
Kaplan, it has. Magic Spoon is like the cereal you had as a kid. It's like all those sugary cereals you had as a kid, but there's no cereal. I mean, there's no sugar.
No sugar.
It's nothing. It's no cereal. There's literally, we're selling you nothing, Paige. That's great. No, it's no sugar. It's 11 grams of protein. It comes in 4 flavors. There's apparently a lot more flavors now on the website, but the 4 flavors we know about, cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry. They sent me 4 boxes. They sent Kaplan 4 boxes. We are now almost out. I'm going to have to see if they can give me more free boxes because we just ran through it. We loved every single one. Blueberry is my favorite. Also, here's the thing, Cap. Everybody's still doing. We're 2 weeks into the new year. I hope everyone's still doing their New Year's resolutions. If your New Year's resolution is to lose some weight, to stop eating sugar, add Magic Spoon to your diet, go to magicspoon.com/lost and type in the promo code LOST, L-O-S-T, at checkout, and you get free shipping. And more than free shipping, you let them know that we sent you so they keep advertising on this show.
Yeah, if you're one of those people who's doing this whole, one of these whole 30 challenges to start the year, or one of these things where 30 days of cleaning, cleaning out your body, not eating, not drinking, not doing, being healthy, this is the breakfast of champions, as they say. This is the breakfast that is, and it's my kids. We don't have fruit anymore. They finished it. I would be holding the box. They ate the whole box. It's gone. I hope they send us another one. It's so good. They love it. They eat it every day. I eat it every day. It's delicious. The blueberry is delicious.
It's a combination of the disgusting cereal that my parents made me when I was a kid that had no sugar or anything in it. And then the diabetes causing cereal that Kaplan's parents had him eat as a kid that has all the sugar and tastes great. It's all the best parts of all of that. It's the healthiness of the gross stuff plus the flavor of the good stuff. Cocoa, fruity, frosted blueberry. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, GMO free,
high protein,
zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it is backed by 100% happiness guarantee, Kaplan.
I mean, nobody else guarantees happiness. Do you have any other products? Because I am, most products in my life make me miserable. They don't really not make me happy. They make me miserable. They make me angry. I eat them. I get upset with myself for eating them. It doesn't taste good. I think it's a ripoff. This product, they guarantee happiness. What more can you want?
If the Sacramento Kings guaranteed happiness, there would be a class action lawsuit going back 20 years because they make all of us miserable.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up, you mentioned my cereal habits. I used to eat a cereal because it said Mikey likes it was its tag phrase. That cereal was garbage compared to this cereal. Mikey likes this. That's my name. People don't know my first name is Michael. Mikey, my mom used to call me. I'm going back to it just so I can endorse Magic Spoon. Mikey
Not
likes it.
Not everyone knows that Michael and Mikey are the same name.
Not everyone knows my first name. Most people don't know my first name.
So. Not everyone knows English.
Not everybody knows English. So yeah.
All right, Mikey, we're now 9 minutes into this ad. That's it. Let's get that stuff with the ad.
Now
a word from your local sponsors. All right, we are back. Peja, how'd we do? How was the ad read?
Yeah.
We're professionals.
Does Magic Spoon need a representation in the Balkans?
Yes, they might. They listen to, I know they listened because after we did our first one, they ordered like 8 more ads, and we thought it was because all our listeners bought from them, which they are. And thank you for continuing to buy. But the feedback we got back is they wouldn't have even had that numbers yet. So they must have just heard it, liked us, and got more. So yeah. I'm sure they're listening.
Here's the thing about cereals in this part of the world, or at least for my generation. We didn't have any in our childhoods, for example, in the 70s and 80s. All the cereals as we know it now would be imported, well, let's say,
don't say their names.
smuggled from the Western markets. Well, yeah.
Was Stachi doing this? Was that what part of the war crime?
I don't think
smuggling
so.
In nah. Smuggling in Western cereals?
100 counts of murder and smuggling.
Organ donors? kidneys.
Kidneys, you know, like sugary kidneys or precious
because
hearts.
They were kidney beans. They weren't kidneys.
Yeah, well.
Do you want to be our smuggler of Magic Spoon? But on legit smuggling, the legal version?
I would. You know, the first encounter of big time cereals for my generation was actually those on Jerry Seinfeld's refrigerator.
Yes.
You know,
he was a big cereal eater.
You know, and well, at the time, you know, in the 90s when the show was going on, we were older, but that's actually when my generation realized that cereals is not only for the kids.
Yes.
It could be eaten by adults as well. And
that's Magic Spoon.
Talking about the weight loss and purifying your organism and everything, it's doable.
Yes.
It's doable. 15 pounds in my case is gone.
Oh, really?
And Turner's going to be the Seinfeld of Magic Spoon this generation.
Yeah.
When we have the sitcom version of Lost in America, Turner's going to have all these
Magic Spoon. Behind the kids in the kitchen.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I'm gonna bust in like Kramer.
Yeah, I don't think that Turner needs any you know weight loss and everything. Otherwise, he would vanish, man. Look at him.
That might be it. Yeah. All right, let's get back to Kosovo. Here's the question. Here's what I wanted to ask. What do once last year war crimes thing all happened? It is war crimes, but it seems a little tricky because it's also in the heat of war, in the heat of battle, defending your country type of thing. Yeah. What did the local people in Kosovo, what was the reaction?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't know. I mean, I've never spoken to kind of a representative sample of it.
Yeah.
Or people who got doubts would be, I'd say, brave enough to voice it out. I don't know. I mean, you know, many war crimes or something that's been pointed out as war crimes took place during the, you know, the war, the battles and stuff like that. And it's also a matter of interpretation. Some say, you know, for some people, terrorists, for some people, freedom fighters.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's where the international legal system kicks in, you know, in order to try to reconcile and put it on a, you know, kind of a common justice interpretation level.
Yeah.
So I'm not an expert, nor I think that anyone, even amongst the people living in Kosovo, is as familiar with what's been going on during the less than a year period.
Yeah, you have to understand really
that. So it was a short conflict. It's been less than 1 year of conflicts and war operations, and not major ones. The biggest ones were actually in April, May of 1999. So, okay, you know, it was a, you know, it was a short but very intensive period of time. So,
well, I think, you know, Tachi also didn't expect he'd be going down for war crimes, because according to what I read, this tribunal that took him down was organized, only set up in 2015 by the UN, the US, maybe the EU, and also Tachi himself was one of the, at least approved of the commission to set up this tribunal that was supposed to take down war criminals. The first war criminal they took down was him.
No. Oh, they didn't do Milosevic first, is why he was supporting it, or
no? Here's the thing: on the Serbian side, the state of Serbia had many highly ranked public figures indicted and convicted of participating in war crimes. High ranked politicians. I even think the president of Serbia at the time, because at the time Slobodan Milosevic was the president of the Yugoslav Federation consisted of Serbia and Montenegro at the time. So he was a Yugoslav president in charge, and there was this kind of a lame duck figure, Serbian president, who got convicted of the war crimes, and several ministers of the Serbian government at the time got convicted in the Hague Tribunal and in the Serbian courts. So there were legal cases and trials ending up in charging Serbs for the Kosovo War. Nevertheless, not so many in Kosovo, and the international community was like, "Hello, Kosovo, what's going on? When is going to start?" Because we know things been happening on both sides. And I think these guys hoped that over time the intensity of these pressures will fade away, but it didn't. So what leaders of Kosovo eventually had to do is agree and hope that they will get away, either not being indicted at the first place or being released after the trial. So we'll see. I mean,
the trial hasn't happened yet. They're just kind of in holding. Okay.
Nope.
And what is holding? Do we know what holding means at the Hague? Is it like all the, do they all in a row? I'm picturing like a prison row, and it's like the one from,
it's like a celebrity row.
It's a celebrity of like war criminals.
War criminals.
And to be honest with you, yeah, from what I saw from all other trials, it's very poshy.
Yeah, it's like it's not like Alcatraz for war criminals.
It's like the Ritz.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's the cells and everything, but the trial room and everything, it's very poshy, you know.
Yeah.
No. You have these nice. Judges in long togas and with. I don't think that they wear wigs. I don't know.
The Lord rings.
So as a leader, Tachi seemed to be pretty, everyone, as you said, everyone kind of knew of corruption happening all around and they seem to hope that now that he's gone, even though he was democratically elected all these years, it wasn't like he was a dictator. But it seems to think that hope, as he's gone, that it'll move in a different direction, the country. What do you see?
I don't think that anything will be moving forward for real until the relations between Kosovo and Serbia are, you know, finalized in terms of mutual recognition. Because the status quo, which is in place for more than 20 years now, is justification for all the bullshit that's been going on in the politics of both countries. You know, in Serbia, and you know, I know that you know I'm going to be pissing off some of the Serbs watching this, but in Serbia, if you talk to the people in many of them reconcile with the notion that Kosovo is gone forever. Many.
Some more realists.
A few.
Yeah. Some are saddened by it. And many, to be honest with you, don't really care about it. And some cannot wait for it, for the good riddance.
Okay.
Because that would finally remove this kind of a... chain around the ankles of, you know, nationalistic, corrupt politicians that been running both Serbia and Kosovo. So now that issue is off the table. Let's do something that government is supposed to be doing instead of whining about, you know, the everyday enemy on the other side.
Yeah, because what was the argument for them staying together? As like, what's the Serbian national? Is just the nationalism argument of that's territory, or like why?
Serbs claim that territory as the historic heartland of Serbia.
Okay.
In terms of history, that's correct. Middle Ages Serbia actually was built the kingdom. At the time was built around that region. Yes, in 12th, 13th, 14th century.
Right.
But that was, you know, things changed in the meantime in terms of habitants, in terms of, you know, so Serbia has this kind of historical claim and Kosovar Albanians have realistic situation in the field where you have close to 2 million of non-loyal Kosovars to anything that's got to do with Serbia.
Yeah. I mean, throughout the world, they have these claims of, well, that's our territory because 2000 years ago we owned it or this thing. Yeah. And it's like, you know how they said what we can all like now copy the Great Gatsby, right, Kaplan?
Yeah.
It's not, what was it, 1925? Anything written before 1925 is now like public domain. You can use it however you want. There should be a similar rule for worldwide for like when this is no longer your country. If you haven't owned it for 100 years,
well,
or 1,000 years, whatever it might be, pick a date and then say you can't go. Now you can't claim, well, we used to have it. So that's ours again. That's my opinion.
I mean, talking about these issues, all throughout the world, and especially in the Balkans, leads nowhere. But I had one win a few years ago. I was in Belgrade, capital of Serbia, and I was talking to this friend of a friend, okay? And he's a hardline nationalist Serbian, and Kosovo is a sacred land, and Kosovo should be reintegrated into Serbia and everything. And I remember coming up with this question. okay, so Trump is in power in America. He says, yes, Trump is friend of Serbs. Well, as much as an American could be, that was his answer. Okay, so I was like, what if within the next 48 hours, Trump and the White House make this decision saying, we retrieve the recognition of Kosovo as an independent nation. Kosovo is now part of Serbia. What do you do? Because, yeah, fine, territory and all the resources, but you repatriate 2 million of non-Serbian, non-loyal Kosovo Albanians.
Yeah.
What do you do? And they would make almost one third of the, one quarter of Serbia as such. What do you do? And I saw his
wheels,
facial expressions being frozen, because up to that point, he never thought of that. What do you do with 2 million Albanians reintegrated into Serbia?
Who don't want to be part
who
of Serbia.
Who don't want to be. Yeah. They don't, but somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
And what, is there a,
what then?
Is there an income gap between the two countries as well? Or are they pretty similar?
I think that, I mean, Kosovo traditionally is poor. But I think that Kosovo might have dealt with economy somewhat better in the past decade. So they're somewhere around. Kosovo being smaller,
really to, yeah.
It's not big difference. I mean, Serbia is more developed in terms of having big cities and better infrastructure, but in quality of life.
And most importantly to us, Kosovo doesn't have any good basketball players, so they're bringing nothing to Serbia. I mean, I haven't think there's any. I can't think of one Kosovo. There's no.
The Serbs is might as well.
Yeah,
Serbs so might win the Olympics.
Yeah, all those Kosovo guys aren't making the team anymore if you combine them into one country.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I wouldn't know. I know that they're doing rather well in soccer. And that's another thing is with another thing when it comes to the athletes. For example, in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Sure.
Talented young athletes who are of ethnic descendants of Serbs or Croats, Bosnian Serbs or Bosnian Croats, they get drafted by the managers and the teams from Serbia and Croatia. Ah. And they end up playing the national teams of either Serbia or Croatia, not Bosnia. And I think that this is something that might be happening in Kosovo with Albanian national teams.
They go play for Albania.
They go play for Albania.
Yes. Yeah. They got choices.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, so we're working our way forward. Let's see. Tachi was gone in mid last year. And then they have an acting president right now.
Yes.
Who I can't.
But what's the difference between the president and the prime minister power wise? We never really established that.
That thing's been changing throughout the past decades around the region. Serbia, president was, a dozen years ago, president was kind of a ceremonial.
Yeah, in some countries that have a parliament, I know it's a figurehead. You go to the parties.
It's a figurehead. Yeah, exactly. But over time, like in Russia, Putin was a prime minister, then a president, then a prime minister, then a president. They changed the constitution, to his preference or needs. The same thing's been going on in the countries around the region. So to be honest with you, when it comes to Kosovo, who's more powerful, I wouldn't know. I would say the prime minister, but the president would have a veto.
That's similar to what I read. I read that Tachi is more of a figurehead as the president, but the prime minister was in control. And that's why Hoti, who took over, is the new prime minister, meaning the new within the last year, is the one running the country. And then to end this all out, so he kind of took over last year at some point. Yeah. And then in December of last 2020, one of the parliamentary members out of the 121, one of it went 61 to 60. One of them got taken down for, I think, embezzlement or tax evasion. Either way, now that discounted that vote from earlier, and now they're doing it again. Is there anything we missed there?
Or embezzling cereals? What were they? No,
I don't know.
Getting magic spoon.
Yeah, that's
worth it. It's worth throwing the whole election off.
It's a hot good, you know. but well, you know, I mean, that's what America will be facing, from January 20th. You know, it's not going to be easy to be Kamala Harris, you know, to be the 101st member of the Senate.
Breaking the tie, you mean, yes.
Breaking the tie. So this guy was not any highly ranked guy, but, you know, in given ratio of opposition and ruling political parties, him out of the parliament resulted in new elections. But, you know, look at Israel. I mean, you know, they've got elections almost all the time.
Thank you. We did this last week. Thanks for plugging our own show.
You're welcome.
We do snap elections. That's our new bread and butter around here.
Yeah. And there are many, to be honest with you. I think that you should talk to someone from Malaysia, because Malaysia is, they lost the government and there is going to be no elections for the next half a year.
Next week. I know a ton of Malaysian comedians.
Here we go.
And they've got a great scene over there. So it's easy for you to find someone.
Number one in Malaysia would be a good t-shirt. So we should do that.
We hover around the top five in Malaysia at all times. So,
well, there you go.
Top five in Malaysia is not a bad shirt either. Hovering.
Yeah,
hovering us. Just picture of us hovering above the country on the charts. Parliaments in general are kind of messy. We've learned this, and especially if you're going to have, corrupt politicians.
If they're going to prison all the time.
They're all exactly.
So, well, having politicians or even the parliament members of the parliament sent to jail is not necessarily a bad thing. So
Yeah, I imagine the jails in Kosovo aren't as nice as The Hague.
So, not at all.
That is so foofy. You'd rather do international crimes than local crimes.
This member of parliament's not going to
the war crime luxury hotel, whatever you call it. Hey,
well, I what might have happened is that, Grinnell or whomever from
Dick Grinnell.
Was sent from Trump to whisper to Thatcher's ear, saying, okay, either you're going to go to The Hague or we're going to make sure that you end up in one of the local prisons.
That could be
your choice.
Dick Grinnell, the first gay member of the cabinet. Trump was the one who made history. We should put that on the record. But
there you go. See?
Yeah, openly gay.
I'm good.
Yeah, there it is. He made history. So, yeah. And
awesome. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you so much. I know Kaplan has to run pick up his kids, right?
I have to run to Hebrew school every week. We seem to run into this. Speaking of, but you're gonna, when we find out when this election happens and the next corruption, we're gonna have to get back on here.
What's
gonna happen first, the election or some other guy goes to jail for? Or gets
the election's February 14th, so
it's a good prop bet. It's pretty equal. What crime?
I'm covering six countries in the region. There's always something.
You're our Balkan correspondent. Yeah.
He is.
The Balkan brain. He's our Balkan brain. That's
our
how we
Balkan
should.
Our Balkan brain, our Balkan correspondent, Pejer Bajevic. Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Everybody check out PejerBajevic.com. We'll put it in the description of the show. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
We should get lost.
Eat magic spoon.
And eat magic spoon.
Eat magic spoon and get lost.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.